Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, to Let's Talk About It All. I'm your host, Shade. I'd like to thank all of you who are on the line. I know that you could have been anywhere doing anything, and you chose to be here listening to us. Okay. Today's topic, first topic is going to be, is holding on to the past detrimental or essential in order for a person to be able to move forward in the present and in the future? I'd like to do that again. Is holding on to the past detrimental or essential in order for a person to be able to move forward in the present and in the future? Okay, and I also would like to let anyone know, if you would like to join in or add a comment at any point during the conversation, just press 1, and just remember, there's no dumb questions, there's no right or wrong answers, there's just dialogue. We just hear the dialogue on the issues, and hopefully be able to come up with some solutions. I'd like for you to leave with something other than what you came on the line with, you know, some type of information, something that could be useful in your life or moving forward in your life. Okay. Now, I'm sure all of us have something in the past that we went through. And I'm sure all of us have something in the past that was bad, detrimental, hurt our feelings, broke our hearts, you know, different type of emotions. So what I'm asking is, holding on to the pain, the anger, the embarrassment, whatever it was, whatever emotions that this thing brought on to you, is holding on to it, has it been helpful in your life, or has it harmed you? For example, let's say you were in a relationship and someone cheated on you. You know, you dedicated a lot to the relationship. They ended up cheating on you and it scarred you. And you ended up bringing those scars into your new relationship, which caused you to be suspicious of the next person, the person that you currently with or was with at that particular time, because you never actually was able to move forward from the pain or the anger that was caused by this other individual. In that case, I would say that it was detrimental, especially if it caused you hardship or problems in your new relationship. If by you being holding on to something that was in the past that actually that was out of your control, and bringing it in the present, it would definitely be detrimental to you being able to move forward. However, now if something happened to you in a manner that it was something that you spotted a sign from an individual, and based on that sign, that red flag, you were able to utilize that in the present to avoid something from occurring, then it would be essential. The past would be essential. Let's go into it in the point of how during the month of the African-American heritage, they seem to show almost every year the 60s in the fight for civil rights. And they show the dogs, the cops with the dogs. They show the cops punching people, knocking them down. Things of that nature. Now, what do you think of those images being brought back year after year after year? Do you think that they are helpful, or do you think they're detrimental? If anyone's on the line, on, press 1 and let us know what you think in reference to those type of images, as well as the images of where we see, you know, people hanging and you have a crowd of people seem like they celebrate around the hanging of. Do you think that's essential, or do you think it's detrimental? Do you think that those images are being used to help us move forward, or are those images being used to remind us of a time that weren't so long ago? You know, it wasn't 1,000 years ago, it wasn't 100 years ago. I mean, 200-300 years ago, these were images that, me personally, I don't think they're essential to the point that they're helping us move forward as a country and as a people. I think that those images are a reminder of a time where we were actually helpless. And I think to some degree, by showing those images as often as they do, are kind of keeping us in that state of mind subconsciously, kind of keeping us in that helpless state of mind to where we look at another people as superior, and it helps them feel superior. I think that's what those images do. Now, let's examine, you know, the slavery part of it, where they say, you know, that we were slaves, and that's the past. That's the past. Now, many of us, none of us really, you know, have any idea about it except for what you see and what you heard. What they show you and what you heard. And me personally, I haven't gotten a story from anyone in my family telling me how it was or them knowing anyone from that time to speak about how slavery was. I'm bringing this topic up because it was a topic that I meant to get into last week. However, the topic will still tie into the topic that we're going to speak about later. It still ties in. It all ties in to us being able to take from the past what is helpful and learn how to let go of those things in the past that are unhealthy or that are not essential for us to be able to move forward in our everyday life. The point that I'm actually making is taking the past, and especially those things that were hurtful and harmful and detrimental, and being able to forgive and move forward. I'm sure many people say that's easier said than done. However, I think the first thing that we have to do to get past any emotional trauma or emotional situation is to be able to identify what the emotion is that we're feeling. Be it anger, sadness, or disappointment. I think one of the issues that we have as a people is not being able, you know, as humans, as Americans, as whatever you want to, you know, whatever name you want to use, men and women, we have a problem with being able to identify our emotions. And I think by not being able to identify the emotion you feel, you respond in a manner that normally creates more of an issue than being able to solve the problem or work through the situation. For example, if you're sad and you react in a manner where you're screaming and cursing and calling people names, remember, whoever you're doing this to don't know that you're sad. So based on what you're displaying, you're displaying anger. So now that you're sad, and maybe you wanted to let the person know that you were sad and you couldn't identify that's what it was, you brought out emotions that represented anger. Now, this created another situation. So, it's imperative that we as men and women, particularly, more so on us as men and women, because it seems to be major issues between the men and the women being able to work through situations. And I think part of that is, as I said earlier, not being able to identify the emotion that you're feeling at the time. And grant you, everyone is entitled to their feelings. However, because you feel something doesn't necessarily make it where you could say a person should be able to understand what you're feeling if you're not expressing it in a proper manner. So with that being said, it comes to a point of not only identifying what you feel, it's also being able to express what you feel in a manner that makes it clear to the outside individual, to another individual. Okay, so we're going to stop right there, and we're going to go to a break, a music break, unless anyone has something to add. If you do, press one. If not, we're going to go to a music break, and we'll return with the next topic.
Shout out, Young Swiss. I'm down on one knee, I hope you need a tissue. Do you take me for eternity? And make a pinky promise that you'll never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future's scary, I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the mornings, you will wanna see. I'm sorry, babe, there's so much that I wanna say. First, let me ask you, will you marry me?
Oh my God, I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.
I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.
Welcome back to Let's Talk About It All. I'd like to thank everyone who was on the line. And again, if at any point in time you hear something that you would like to respond to or you would like to add to, don't hesitate to press 1. With that being said, we're going to move on to the next topic, which is race and class being used by big businesses and lawmakers to separate the American people? I'll say it again. Is race and class being used by big business and lawmakers to separate the American people? So in other words, do you think we are being manipulated by big businesses as well as the lawmakers because by them having us have what we call the racial inequalities, you know, the things where if you get in a situation with the courts, it seems that the non-brown counterparts seem to work out better. And then in other cases, it seems that people with money seem to come out better. So with those two scenarios, you know, let's think about, you know, people with money, you know, have different outcomes, more likely better outcomes than people with no money when they get into a situation where they have to pay a lawyer, go to court or something of that nature. Let's use a more recent person that the outcome was very different with this person. And, you know, we barely speak about the person anymore. I'm going to say his name, R. Kelly. All right? The first trial R. Kelly had, when he used in the closet to raise finances to pay for the lawyers, he got off. This time, for some reason, all his money, all his assets was frozen. We all know the outcome. He's got 30 plus years in prison. So with that being said, he was accused of pretty much the same crimes that he was accused of back then. The only difference this time is they did a little documentary. They got his, you know, wife and daughter to speak up. But the bottom line is he didn't have any money to fight the case. And he ended up getting a bad deal. So, you know, elaborating more on the topic of are we being used, you know, by big business and lawmakers, basically politicians. You know, is this class and race thing more in the favor of those individuals than those of us who are considered middle class or low income or people of color. Is that really what's happening? That it's really a major divide based on those two things, race and class? Is that really the meat of it, or is it something being perpetuated to keep us separate so that these individuals can remain in power and be able to manipulate the rest of us, be it, you know, people of color or people of non-color? And, you know, with that being said, let's also go in the two parties where we have Democrat and Republican. And it seems as though we as people of color are locked in Democrats. We vote Democrat because what, our parents did so, or because it seems as though what they're talking about feels good or sounds good to us for some reason, like they have our best interests at heart. It seems as though that's why we vote for them. I mean, me personally, now, at this point in my life, I think as a people, we need to be more open-minded and not just vote Democrat or Republican, but let's try to vote for the individuals who we believe have our best interests at heart. That's what I think we need to start doing, because you know, before the election, we had Biden saying, you know, publicly, if you don't vote for him, you're not black. I mean, how arrogant and, you know, egotistic was that statement? Nevertheless, he's in office, and I'm pretty sure many of us voted for him after making that statement. And now that he's in office, what is the state of the country at this point? You know, you voted him in. We all went to vote him in because, you know, we said Trump was the problem, you know. So, and I'm going with this based on what I said about the class, you know, and the race, racism, you know, race and class. This is how it's connected, because for some reason, Trump was labeled as a racist. So it was like, oh, we can't vote for this guy. He's a racist. He's you know. He's against us. Now, grant you, I am no Trump fan. I am no Biden fan. I am a fan of the people in need. Those of us who are in need, that's who I'm a fan of. That's who I think needs to be properly educated. It's not just the point of just being educated. It's the point of being properly educated, because to be educated, you could be miseducated. So I would like for everyone who's listening to just examine, you know, whatever city you're in, find out who is the dominant party that is running your city. And look around in your city and see if you're pleased with the results of your city. And if you're pleased with the result of your city, then I would say that you're voting for the right party. However, if you're in a city and you're not pleased with the environment of your city, then maybe you need to reconsider the party that you're voting for, even if you're registered one or the other. Because the main thing is we've been taught and we've been told that based on the 60s, as you know, I was speaking of earlier with the dogs and the cops and all of that, it's a necessity for us to vote. We have to vote. We have to vote. But nobody has told us that, listen, you need to vote for the right people that's going to put in the right policies that's going to benefit you, us, I should say, as a people, that's going to benefit us. It's one thing to vote. It's another thing to vote for people who don't have your best interest and yet continue to keep voting for these same people and then get amongst ourselves and complain. You know? So we, as Americans, forget the color, have to be able to work through our biases when it comes to a particular party and listen and come together and put together what you would like to see. What you would like to see in your city. If you would like to see lower taxes, if you would like to see cleaner streets, if you would like to see more police, less police, more more places for the children, you know, more, you know, whatever it is that you would like to see in your city, then whenever the time comes where you and you're present and these individuals are speaking about their platform, ask the questions or put the questions in a box. Normally they have a box where you can put them in the box and they read through. What I also suggest you do, as I said earlier, is stop voting for people who do not have your best interest at heart. Stop voting just for the sake of voting. Use your vote wisely. Use your vote to be able to benefit you. Now, I'm saying this in a time because we're in a time now where the midterm elections. So we need to vote. But don't run out there, you know, just voting because you let someone fill your head with race and class. And you look at the conditions now, the Democrat, we got a Democrat in there, and look at the conditions. Food, all-time high. Gas, all-time high. Houses, off the chart. Interest rates, all of these things affect us in one way or another. So let's be mindful when we go out there and vote. Let's do our homework. Let's look up the candidates. Let's see really what the candidates stand for. Let's see if what the candidates stand for align with what we would like to see. Don't get caught up in the race, you know, don't get caught up, oh, we can't vote for him because he don't like black people. He don't like people of color. Or, you know, he only for the rich. You know, they not for the poor. You know, this is what I'm saying with this topic when I ask, you know, is class and race being used by big businesses and lawmakers or politicians, as I should say? Are they using those two vehicles to separate us so that we vote against our best interests because we are too concerned about racism at this point or classism at this point, when, you know, we all want equality, we all want to be treated equal, we all want to be able to leave something for our children, we all search and seek the pursuit of being happy. That's every American. So we have that in common. If the person that you vote for is going to be able to help you be able to do better financially, help you be able to live a better life, and take care of your children and give your children and your children be able to live a better life, or grandchildren or just family members, and you're able to be happy, then is the person that I would suggest that you vote for. Is anyone listening? Well, or for those of you who are listening, do you agree or disagree? If you do, you know, like I said, press one. If not, what we're going to do now is we're going to go to a song, take a little break, and then we'll come back with the last and final topic. Hello?
Peace, God.
Hello?
Peace, y'all. How are you, beloved?
Peace. I'm good. How are you?
I'm great, man. I just caught it, God. I finally caught you, man.
Okay.
Out here still, you know what I mean? I figure I'd call in. Let's be original.
Yeah, I know who you is, man. I know your voice now. Yeah. Did you hear anything that I was saying, or you just got on?
I heard I was in and out because, you know, like I said, I'm laboring. So I heard you mention something about slavery, and then I got distracted.
Right. Okay, yeah. Well, what I was speaking on just recently is I was speaking on us as a people of color. We're locked in. The majority of us are locked in voting Democrat. You know,
like yourself. Yeah.
So, I made the reference of Biden saying, if we're not black, if we don't vote for him, you know. So,
right.
I personally took that offensive, you know what I mean? Because I don't think he had the right, you know, to even say that. But nevertheless, he did.
Indeed.
However, we went out and voted. He's in office now, you know?
He's in office.
And now that he's in office, I was asking, you know, the audience, everybody that's listening, is our situation better? Now that we voted for him, is the situation better? Is the country in a better state? You know?
Wow, that's a good question, God.
Right. And
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, the topic was, you know, Is race and class being used by, you know, big business and you know, pretty much politicians to separate us as a people, you know, separate us as Americans. You think so?
I think so. Yes, sir.
Yeah, and I would agree. So with that being said, okay, like I just mentioned, let's look at the gas prices. That's one thing that's off the charts, or that off the charts. Food off the charts.
Indeed.
You know? Interest rates.
Housing.
Off, right. Oh, so the answer is it's not in a better state now that we voted them in. The country's in a worse state than it was when Trump had it, you know? And they use the race said, oh, you got to go out and vote because Trump's a racist, this, that, and the other. But if you look at it, and grant you, like I said earlier, I'm no Trump fan. I'm no Biden fan. I'm a fan of us, the people. You know what I mean? I believe we need to be able to vote without the bias, of saying, okay, I'm not voting for him because he's racist. I'm not voting for him because he's a Republican. I'm not voting for him because he's a Democrat. You know, let's vote because we believe that whoever we vote for have our best interests at heart.
Indeed.
You know? So that's pretty much where the conversation was going, and that's what I've been speaking on. You know, because I think it's imperative for us in the future. Like, you know, the midterm election's coming up. So I'm speaking on this so that for those who are listening, you know, to take some information and just, you know, one of the things that's also said, I don't know if you heard, was whatever city you live in, you know, take time out to see which party predominantly runs your city, and look and do you like the state of your city or do you not like the state of your city? Excuse me. You know what I'm saying? And if you like the and if you like the state of your city, then you're voting for the right, you know, and if you voted for those individuals, you vote for the right individuals. However, if your city in a state where you don't like it, and you voting for individuals, then you're voting for the wrong individuals. You know?
Indeed.
So we just have to be properly educated. You know, we've been told growing up, get educated, but there's such thing as miseducated. You know, and
yes,
I think
sir.
A lot of us, you know, so I think a lot of us have been miseducated. Especially when it comes to the voting rights, because they have locked us in that you got to vote. But they're not telling us, look, you got to vote for people who got your best interests. You know
right,
what I mean?
Exactly.
Just don't, your vote is like money. You ain't going to just go spend your money on anything, you know? You
right.
want to spend your
right,
money
exactly.
on something? Yeah, you want to. And grant you, some of us do throw away our money. So, but for the most of us, you want to be wise when you put that vote out there because you want some equity from that vote. You know, you want to be able to receive something from that vote that's going to benefit you. You know, I think that's truly important for us to recognize and, you know, start applying that to whenever we vote. Each and every time we vote, we have to be more properly educated voters and not just vote for the sake of a party, either party.
Right, what's up? Yes.
You know?
Yes, I agree, though. I agree. Yeah, I totally agree. You know, but I also think that it's a double standard, God. Like, you know, like individuals, you know, just so they can get that salary and that position of power, you know, they make a whole bunch of promises, you know, like back in the days, you know, we was promised, you know, a whole lot of shit, God. You know what I mean? But I ain't gonna get into that, of course. But you know what I mean? So they make a whole lot of promises, and then, you know, you start trusting and believing in them. You give them your vote, and then the real them surfaces. You know what I mean? So it's really kind of difficult to, based on what they present to us while they're running, it's kind of difficult to put that in perspective, you know what I mean, when they're running, God, because they get the, once they get the power in the position, they change up, you know what I mean?
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. And it take it, go ahead, just finish up. You want to add more? You can add more?
No, sir. Go ahead, God.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Take it a step further. I think, you know, what allows them to be able to spit that type of rhetoric to us is based on the party that, you know, that we vote for, you know?
Indeed.
Because look at it this way. If they come to a place that's predominantly people that's Democrats, they speak a certain way. You know what I mean? They speak about
rhetoric,
okay,
yeah,
programs. We're gonna put programs together. You know what I mean? We're gonna lower taxes. You know. So they suck you in based on the ideology of the party. So I think that's the other reason I think that we do a disservice to ourselves, because when we register for one party or the other. So when they go on their tour, based on trying to win whatever amount that represents their party, that's who they target. Those are the cities
Indeed.
And states that they target. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. Yes,
so,
sir. Absolutely.
You know, so my suggestion would be that, you know, maybe we may want to just register independent. You know, it's just a thought. You know, register independent. Just imagine if all Americans registered independent. Now, they can't go to a red state or a blue state no more. You know what I mean? Because everybody's independent. So they can't come saying, well, I know that I got to be tough on crime, and I got to support the gun laws, and you know what I mean? I got to be against abortions, you know?
Right.
Or you know, I got to be defunding the police and for abortions, you know, and tighten up on the gun laws. So with that being said, that I think would help with what you just mentioned. You know what I mean? What you just mentioned about, you know, us not having, you know, they're going to tell us anything. We don't know if they're going to live up to what they say, you know?
Indeed. So
what, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, our lack of knowledge of political science plays a very important part as well, because a lot of us are clueless when it comes to political science, period. You know, like we really don't know what to look for, what skills, what education level bringing these individuals have, how they came up, and, you know, basically their culture from when they were young up until this point. If we had the ability to gauge, you know, gauge them by all that information, I think we'll make better decisions, brother. I really do.
Right. Yeah, I agree. We definitely need more information, I mean, on some of the candidates. However, some of the candidates, we could just look back on their past records. You know what I mean? Because you can look
Indeed.
Back on Biden. you can look back on some of the stuff that Biden voted for and realize that a lot of his past history wasn't beneficial to us.
Indeed.
You know, there were, you know, so like, you know, for example, like him voting, you know, they voted with the situation with the welfare. You know what I mean?
Right.
He voted for that high incarceration. You know, with the war on drugs, where nonviolent criminals get to do massive amount of time. You know?
Right.
So imagine how many families got dismantled behind that law. You know, where you can have a small amount of crack or whatever, and they can charge you, you know, the maximum amount of time. But if you brought that up to him, he would say, "Oh, I realized I made a mistake." Okay, if you realize you made a mistake, what are you doing to correct that mistake?
Right, exactly.
You know, and let's even take it to where the laws where they put in effect where it prohibits, you know, certain people of color to purchase like high value companies, such as like being able to purchase radio stations and media and things of that nature.
Right, nigga. Exactly. You know?
So with those type of things, with those type of laws, these are the type of things that we want to be, you know, okay, are you going to change the law so that we have an equal playing field? That's all we ever asked for. We didn't, you know, they make it like we walk around with our hands out. It's never been that. All we wanted was an equal playing field. That's all we need. And we show that in anything that it's not room for bias. You know what I mean? And that's one of the reasons we excel in sports, because you can't paint that. You know what I mean? You can't discriminate against that. You get to your skills show. You know?
Right, exactly.
So your skills show. So with certain businesses and things of that nature, you can manipulate that and to make it seem that we are not capable of doing certain jobs because they put a block on it.
Right.
You know? If you put a block on buying multimedia outlets, it appears that we don't want multimedia outlets, but it's a block that prohibits us. Or, for example, to buy a baseball team. You know what I mean? To buy a baseball team, to buy a football team. You know, things of that nature, it's a block. It's a block. It's not like, oh, it's not like, okay, it's open. You got the money, you can have it. You know?
Indeed.
So those are things that we want to be mindful of. Like when we vote, we want those things to be, you know, we want people to look. We want you to overturn those laws, because some of these are laws, and we don't even realize that these are laws in place that prohibits us, so they get away with it. Because if it wasn't laws, then you'd automatically be able to sue and win, you know?
Right.
But it's a law, so you have to get the law overturned. And unfortunately, some of the people we voted for put those laws in place. And,
indeed.
You know, going back to the topic, they manipulated us. They separated us. And the reason I say us as Americans is because people of non-color, some of them don't even know that this type of stuff go on. They just feel like we lazy, we violent, and we don't want anything. You know? That's a portrayal that's put
right.
out about us, and it's not factual. It's a portrayal. And we have our young our youth falling into it. They falling right into the hole. You know, they going right into the hole, right into the trap of what they're perpetuating us to be. So then it appears, oh, they right about them. You can see it with
indeed.
Their youth. You know?
Yes, that's indeed.
You know? Yeah. And not realizing that some of this race and class has played a part in manipulating the situation to bring us to where we at now, you know, as a people in this struggle that we in now, and the fights and the social issues that we're fighting. You know, some of the social issues we're fighting, we've been fighting since the 60s. So how is that? You know what I mean? How are we fighting some of the same social issues since the 60s? Something wrong.
Right, exactly. Right, right. Definitely. We
you
always
know?
Said when we were younger, beloved, we always said, you know, if you don't master your history, you're destined to repeat it. You know what I mean? So that's just, it's just a case of that. It's a lack of a better word. It's just like, you know, we're forced to think a certain way, forced to feel a certain way. And a lot of it is intimidation and self-hate. You know what I mean? They teach us and design things in a way that it's difficult for us to even try or strive to trust one another so that we can be a village or a group of individuals that's pulling and pushing for one another instead of against one another. You know what I mean? So, you know, I'm speaking on as a people in that aspect. But, you
Absolutely.
Know, when you talk about the national status of it, they really don't consider us citizens, even to this day, beloved. They really don't, you know what I mean? It sound good to the air. Oh, yeah, I'm an American citizen, this, that, and the third. But a lot of us don't understand the math behind all of that shit, man. How these jokers don't, you know, they get accounts and get money from England and shit like that just on the strength. All we got to do is be born, and that's a big account for them. You know what I mean? They just get money. You know what I mean? England, just all they are, not just England, but I can't think of all of their names, but, you know, they use our social securities and shit as actual accounts, bank accounts and shit. They just getting, ripping us like that. So it's no chance for us to get the monies that they getting for us. You can't even get a damn loan from the bank. They laugh you out of there. You know what I mean? Well, I'm speaking on, you know, in general, God, of course.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And those, you know, those are, you know, systematic things that, you know, we have had to deal with as a people in some manner or another. And, you know, all we could do is, you know, As we were taught when we were young, get the youth. You know what I mean? Say the babies. If, you know,
right.
that's the key to changing our situation. Say the babies.
Indeed so.
You know?
Yes, sir. If you're not teaching your babies, you know, something beneficial, man, and especially like nowadays. And it's a great topic, though, this political thing, because it ain't a whole lot of us in politics that way, you know, or aware of the, you know, political signs. As I said earlier, it's like, you know, that's something we just don't even really, it's sad, man, I hate to even say it, God, but, you know, we really don't even deal with that shit. We just vote Democrat and haul ass, as you were saying. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Shit.
Right.
Yeah, tradition shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. We just don't really understand the necessity of using our vote wisely at this point. And, you know, that's what we want to do. That's what we want to do.
Even where you put
that's
it.
True. Yeah, yeah. We want to get people more abreast and more alert and being able to make conscious votes, a vote, and,
right.
and know that your vote is going to mean something, you know. And
right.
that's all we can do. We give the information, and hopefully people utilize it, you know, in a form that's going to be beneficial to themselves and those around them. All right, but that's it for us for today. I thank you for calling, B.O., man. It was a pleasure speaking
indeed.
With you, man.
Always, you know, beloved.
Yeah, but that's
always.
Our time for today, and I'd like to thank everybody who's listening in, and, you know, tune in next week, you know.
Indeed, that's my intent. Every week, that's my intent, beloved, but, you know, I get out here getting this labor.
Nah, I get it, man. So that's why I appreciate you being able to make it today, brother. I definitely appreciate
indeed.
It because, you know, we got to do what we got to do for to take care of the family, man.
Actual fact. Yes, sir.
You know?
All right, Sha. So, great speaking, man. Right. Give my love to everybody and all of that.
And you too.
Free up. Indeed. Indeed, Sha.
All right.
All right. Peace.
Peace.
And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. Mind, body, and soul,
is you living?
We all under attack,
is you different?
I know niggas existing in two prisons, filling they throat, living like death is too tempting. What's a day worth? Put a price on it. He was 17, the judge dropped life on him. He ain't live yet, now he in the tight corner.
Gangs got their sights on him,
on the yard with a knife on him. Family trying to tell him to chill, we gon' get you home. He like how my pills dead, they took parole. That's kinda cold when you think about it. He shot a nigga, he ain't think about it, didn't even blink about it. But he was trapped in the hood and couldn't think about it. Really trying to be about it, never left his public housing, which resembles the dormitories he's trapped in. So who knew that they was
prepping him back then?
Yeah, on how to live packed in, make him hate his black skin. I swear it's all facts, man.
Yeah, I swear to God it's all facts, man.
So you should let the track spin. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. Remember calling my mom to tell my sentence. Since I don't do no snitching, I'm not a witness. They gave me 23 years, ma,
I'm finished.
I think she cried for like 15 minutes. Over the years, there's enough tears to fill a lake. A lot of trips on
interstates for visiting.
Remember Tony got stabbed,
yo, may he rest in peace.
Stressed my mother so bad, she barely slept for weeks. Thankful that it wasn't me, knowing prison
dangers.
Doing time with lifers and killers and gangbangers. Some of us get caught in the matrix, but can you blame us?